Hi, today we're going to look at Vision Destiny 2017. We're going to look at, from a different perspective, some of the journals that I've taken during the year, my conversations with the Father, my journey to know the reality of who God is. I want to share some of that because I believe this year God is going to open up a new revelatory connection and understanding with himself. God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and I'm deliberately expressing that because that's the nature of who God really is. When we say God, what do we mean? Do we mean the Father? Do we mean the Son? Do we mean the Spirit? When we say God, we may have a view or an image of God that's not really like him. So God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, will reveal himself out of the doctrinal and theological wilderness of the old order. The way we thought we saw God and who he was, really, God wants to explode that and reveal the true nature of who he is to us. So what has God said? What are the words that he's spoken? What has God shown? What are the visions, the dreams, the encounters? You know, what does God mean by that? Not what do we mean by it, but what does he mean? What is the application for you and for me? You know, what is the application for the church here locally? What's the application for the wider church? So whoever's listening to this, you know, I'd encourage you not just to take what I'm saying as, well, that is what it is, but actually to let that inspire you to go and ask God for yourself. What is God saying to you? What is God revealing to you? And I believe as you pursue that, then he'll open up all sorts of opportunities. So following God in relationship has been like looking at a tapestry of God for me. And this is the sort of how I would describe my 2016 journey. It was like I thought I was looking at God, and my spirit was engaging God in reality, but my soul was looking at like a tapestry of God. And it was beautiful, intricate, amazing, coming from my experiences. But it was something that was woven from my experiences of God. So the Father led me to like a thread coming from this tapestry that he encouraged me to follow. And as I followed it, and as I've been engaging with him, it's like that thread has been pulled. And pulling that thread has unraveled the tapestry so that there is no tapestry. Therefore, I can engage God face to face and see him as he really is. So that tapestry was an image of God, G-O-D, not Father, Son, and Spirit, but my impression of that, created by religion and not God himself. And a lot of it was created by the constructs of my own mind that put limitations on what I could believe. Any image of God is an idol. So although I was looking at a magnificent image of God created from my encounters and experiences, it was still an image. And therefore I was leaning to it. So I've discovered that I've been leaning to my own understanding of the image that I've been viewing, even if it was a good image. And my encounters with God personally have challenged that image and what I believed about God. Cognitive dissonance became a phrase that defined many of my encounters. God revealed himself in such a way that it challenged what my preconceived assumptions and presumptions about God were, even if they were good. So I've been called by God, who is Father, Son, and Spirit, to legislate and make laws, and I shared some of those in the early reviews. But one of the first ones was this law, which was about legislative documents, and it was about the removal of restrictions. And I decreed this to, I thought, to a specific group of people, but I really didn't consider the consequences for my own life. And God, you know, Jehovah set me up by me legislating and calling, and he used my own words to challenge and open me up to the restrictions that were obviously on my mind. So the mists, this is what God said to me, the mists around the closed and clouded minds must be dissipated. I didn't think this applied to me, but I very soon found out it was. The hindrances and entanglements must be removed so the limitations of minds that are stuck in what has been can become free to embrace what can be so it can become what will be. And everything is about establishing something new that's come from what was in God's heart from an eternal perspective. The veils must be removed, the restrictions lifted to embrace the limitless potential of my reality. And God wants us to have a new reality, truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, and that is a reality which is beyond what I had experienced. The way, the truth, and the life are to be experienced, not conceptualized and contained. The limits of what is possible must be removed for my purpose to be achieved. You must begin to entertain limitless grace and mercy. Now, I really, really thought I understood that. And this year has challenged what I believe and have experienced when I've encountered God of what limitless grace and mercy really is. To be able to grasp what is true reality beyond all expectations. Call for the legislation of justice where lion and eagle will roar and soar. And it's so important where the lion and eagle come together to bring a perspective and to establish that perspective in government. New dimensions of everything can be yours if you're willing to let go of the old and embrace the challenge of the new. I thought I'd done that, but God wanted it to go to another level. So my legislative response, what I did in terms of legislating, calling things forth, I call for the removal of the limits to unveil the beyond, the limitless potential possibilities of eternal reality. Now remember, when I'm saying these things, this is coming purely out of my spirit. I didn't figure it out or try and think what I was going to say. I just released from the authority that what God said, because he gave me the legislative authority to do this from what he said to me. I used that and therefore flowed into these things. I call for freedom from the religious restrictions that are creating limitations. I call for justice against all the fear-based entanglements that are hindering us being a place of exchange. I call for the heavenly host to be witnesses for justice and for all mindsets of limitation be exposed and removed from the benches of 3, 7, 12 and all mountain benches. Now, I guess I'm part of the three. I just didn't really think of it like that. I call for the courage and boldness to possess the unknown to be instilled into all our hearts and minds. I call for all selfishness to be exposed and surrendered. I call for hearts and minds and wills to be filled with compassion, zeal and passion. I call for all confusion to be removed from our hearts and minds. I call for all obstacles to be removed from those who will be drawn to the light. I call for the mountains to be made low, the valleys lifted up, the rough places smooth and the crooked paths made straight. This is about crossing over into a new inheritance. So having everything prepared to come out of the wilderness. I call for the opening and administration of the everlasting doors and the spiritual atmosphere over us to be cleansed. I call for the angelic armies of heaven to be released with fire into the atmosphere over our spheres of influence. I call for the principality of our city of refuge to be installed. And then as I spoke that, God then began to take me on various encounters. Son, it's time to come with me into the recesses of my mind. You have stood within my heart and felt my emotions. They have moved you to action. And the only way I can describe it is emotions, but it really isn't emotion. But God is calling me more. I wish to take you deeper into my consciousness, the dimension of pure thought, the true precepts revealed in the purity of light, the very essence of my being. My mind is creative energy in its first state. Son, you have only felt the result of my being, which has formed you out of my desire. As your mind is renewed and transfigured, it will take on the ability to engage the pure creative energy of my being. From light you came to be, and you are framed in light, but you have yet to transcend the barrier to engage my reality. The light of your consciousness is the bridge to transdimensional existence and true sonship. So God was really starting to challenge the construct of my thinking, my consciousness, my understanding, my reality, so that there could be a bridge for me to connect to his. The transfiguration that is required is just the external representation that can be seen, but reflects the light that is your true being. Your body came from the dust of your first physical estate, but your spirit and soul belong to a different reality. You have choices to make that will either limit or release you to or from your present reality. And now I had an encounter with God on the dance floor, And this is a description of it. As I dance with the Father on the dance floor, I step into the light for the mind of God to radiate my consciousness with truth. On the dance floor, there are white and black sort of squares, a checkerboard, that most of my encounters before have been in the light. And now the Father was taking me into the dark squares. But they're really just dark from a perspective of revelation or understanding. They're not truly dark because they're within the light of God. So I step into the darkness to discover that which is hidden within God for me to experience in the wonder of intimacy. The light of truth comes flooding out of the darkness into the light. The deeper truth is hidden as mysteries within God's consciousness in the caverns of his mind. It is amazing to glimpse into the light and darkness to see how the quantum mechanics of the universe are controlled by the mind of God. Now, I could see this, and I could see how everything was interconnected, how everything's held together by seeing into that mystery. The amazing power of consciousness that is rewiring my mind to embrace the eternal perspective of infinite potential possibilities. Son, walk with me beyond to where you are destined to be. And beyond is something that I have been connected to. It's been the desire of my heart because I was given this commission, this task to go there. And I thought it was a place, but I've discovered that it was way beyond that. So we began to walk. I started walking with the Father, and we walked through a doorway onto the timeline of my life, which is a weird thing to connect to. I saw multiple paths created by my mind and engaged by my choice. And these are all the things that I'd previously connected to in my life. And I could see them all at one go. I saw where making no choices will lead me. So if you don't do anything, what happens? You go with a flow, a pre-connected flow, and end up somewhere you don't want to be. I saw where making wrong choices will take me. And again, it will be in a place that is not the reflection of who we are in God. My first reaction was I needed to know the right path. Now, this comes from a desire or a need to be right, self-righteousness. And it came out of a wrong understanding and a fear of God, ultimately, which is not God's desire for me at all. But that was my reaction. And it, in a sense, there was a good part of that. Well, I want to do what's right in God. But there was a wrong part, which was being driven from self. So the feelings of loss, regret, sadness started to overwhelm my emotions at this point, because I realized how much of what I had done had been coming out of a wrong understanding of God and myself. Now, I saw the creative possibilities springing from my mind once I'd got over the sadness and the Father was with me and essentially like wiped away my tears. I saw these creative possibilities. They were all springing from my mind, not from God's mind, but from my mind. And I knew that they were all good and they were all leading to positive outcomes. And I could see those that I had come from that source in my life, and now I saw all those future things that didn't have to be limited by those I need to be right and need to get it right, or out of any understanding of God which is fear-based. Then I saw it. I saw a golden thread that could be traced intersecting my time streams. And I'm hoping, and when I saw it, I hoped that this would be the thing that would help me to get it right. Again, coming from that, what I want to get the right thing. I don't want to make a mistake. I don't want to choose to do something which isn't in alignment with my destiny or who I am, my identity. And I saw this golden thread and it sort of gave me hope. But then God showed me that this wasn't the one thread and all the choices I could make, but this was what would enable me to be free to flexibly choose any of those choices decisions, which are all good, which are creative, coming from sonship, who God created to me to be as a son of God, reflecting his image. Therefore, he trusted me to make decisions based on the creativeness of my sonship. It wasn't he's going to give me a list of A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and I follow the list, because that's what I wanted. I wanted him to tell me what to do. But what he was doing was showing me his heart. You know, this is like Jesus seeing what the Father was doing. The Father didn't give him a list in detail. The Father revealed his heart, then trusted that Jesus would outwork it from a flow of his heart. So when Jesus healed someone a particular way, it was God's desire to heal, outwork through Jesus and his creativity to release that healing that way. Whether he made mud and put it on someone's eyes, whether he spoke, whether he touched someone, they were all good, coming out of the heart of God. So what I saw, this golden thread, it was like fixed at both ends, which meant it was fixed in God's heart, and the end was in agreement with the beginning, but it was flexible. It wasn't taut. Therefore, it could be moved in and out of all my decisions, and all of them were right. They were movable by my choice and the creativity of sonship. Well, this freed me up immensely. So my desire was to choose God's only path, and his desire was I would choose a path aligned with his heart, but creatively. So as I yield and surrendered all that can be to become all what I am in you, that's my desire. My desire was to be all that I am in him as a son. So I fix my eyes, my consciousness upon that thread, and I realized that my desire to choose only the right path released me to create any path. All the potential possibilities of creative expression are good and acceptable to God. So I'm not limited. The limitations that would have been put on me by my view of God and the need to get it right and the fear of getting it wrong had limited me to making choices which were safe, based often in presumption and assumption, rather than out of the true reality of God's heart. So I stand in the creative mind of God in eternity and embrace the thoughts of God. And I began, I engaged God in this way, from the ark of the presence of God and engaging God in that way. And it opened up all sorts of creative potential. And when I first engaged these things, it's like I couldn't explain them. I just experienced them. So I'm just describing some of my experience. So I stand in the creative mind of God in eternity and embrace the thoughts of God, that consciousness and reality that begins to reconnect the pathways within my brain to restore my consciousness of the eternal perspective. So who I was created to be and who I was before I came into this physical realm, into this physical body, was being restored and being connected to the heart and mind of God and the thoughts of God was now being restored and connecting with my consciousness now. And God said this, "Son, I'm the master of all reality. Everything is contained within me. I am therefore, everything is contained within infinite potential possibilities. I am. Therefore, everything is contained within infinite potential possibilities." God was unveiling and revealing things from his perspective. "Son, you are created and crafted with the created nature of I am as a son of God. Your true potential is limitless, but is controlled by the boundaries that exist within your consciousness. Son, rest in the seventh day to embrace the new beginnings of the eighth day. Son, if you don't find rest at the end of the old, there can be no beginning of the new. Son, learn from me and find the rest that emanates from a gentle and humble heart, settled in the true conscious knowledge of sonship. Rest is where identity, position, purpose can release the true eternal destiny through kingdom government. everything that we are in terms of positionally as sons in authority must come from rest, with a trust in the image that we are mirrored in God. Son, learn to rest, not wrestle. Acceptance will unveil the mysteries that are hidden from your conscious reality, because it is limited by the boundaries of your knowledge rather than revealed by posting possibilities of your creativity as a true son of God. Son, before you can release your creative potential, your conscious reality must expand and its governmental capacity be released. Son, you are authorized to bring order and direction. I've called and mandated you to establish government. I stand in the creative mind of God, filled with potential energy, ready to be imparted, to be released, energized by the consciousness of God, expanded reality. So my mind started to expand beyond its limitations, which while I was going through this, it felt like I had an iron band connected around my head and screwed tight, because my mind was trying to break free from the constructs that had contained it. And it was literally painful for a few weeks, not in that it was like a headache or like a migraine or anything like that, but there was a sense of restriction which was really, really debilitating. Son, disciple, unrestricted warriors who will function as judges and officials of government. So God started to call me to realize the potential that everyone has to come into those places in heaven, in sonship, but are being limited by their view of themselves and their understanding of God. Son, rest close to me, feel my love and my peace. Now let my joy motivate you to do nothing but look and see. And this was a time for me just to stand in the awesomeness of this and to embrace it. I see trees lining the banks of a river with leaf and flower and fruit all at the same time. So I started to engage. God was unveiling something of the nature of how everything functions together. Son, seed time and harvest is always here if you do nothing. So I'm like, well, am I not supposed to sow? Am I not supposed to tend? Am I not supposed to reap? I'm sort of like, ah, because it's starting to frazzle my understanding. But everything's always there. From his perspective, everything I ever need is always there. Seed time, harvest is always there. I started to see some things at this point. I see myriads of angels in rows going off into the distance, each carrying provisions, flasks of oil in many colors, manna, fruit, gems, jewels, weapons, mantles, crowns, and some things which seem to have more raw materials of many kinds of wood, metal, and things that I can't identify. But everything is living material that has manifold potential. So I'm trying to describe something which is obviously pretty inexpressible, but I'm doing my best. Son, you have the words of the breath of life when you're at rest and peace. I can see then superimposed over each angel like a door. That's like an opportunity to access something. Son, these are the portals of Zion that open up when you see from rest. Son, the desires of a heart at rest open these doors of potential possibilities. See with your heart, and I begin to see tunnels of light like wormholes of connection. I'm seeing the entrances to the points of Metatron's cube, the tree of life, governmentally within its matrices. Son, what do you feel now? So I have engaged Metatron's cube. I've seen the diagrams. I've seen the dimensions, but they've all been sort of two-dimensional. Now they were multi-dimensional, and I was connected to them like through these wormholes of engagement. What do I feel? Awed or overawed, but I'm going to describe it. I feel a sense of wonder and awe of inspiration to go deeper into rest. It's like, if this is going to connect me to who I am and to destiny, then I want to pursue and go deeper into rest. So I'm now like, I'm open up to anything. So I seem to go into this sort of cocoon where the walls around me are layers of past experience. And I was sort of seeing the restrictions, if you like. One new man, where there is oneness, like God is one. And God was sort of bringing me into a understanding of himself, an experience of himself. I hear and feel the frequency of oneness. Within my previous experience, God was showing me there's something more at the core. I sense the reverberation of John 17. And as you know, John 17, it's all about being one. Let them be one as we are one. Bring me to new reality. This is what I'm looking for. I'm so drawn to this new reality of oneness, of relationship, of God, of who I am in God. I'm not restricted. I am being incubated within all that I know from my present reality. So it's like that's around me, but something is going to be birthed and break me out of that present reality. All that I am in identity and relationship, in rest, beckons me into the depths of a new reality. All that oneness is opens up my mind to touch all that was and will be. Only the deeper rest of being one new man, oneness free from all that separates and divides and restricts and entangles, emerges from the cocoon of present reality. It's like trying to describe this is obviously quite difficult, but I felt it, I experienced it. Let this mind be in you that is in Christ Jesus. So I can be in I am. And we're told that we have the mind of Christ. But when I connected with this, it was like so beyond anything. I am contains all in all, was, is, will be, from before the foundation of the world. I'm standing in the beginning and the end within the cocoon of the oneness of I am. So within my restrictions, God's taken me within himself so that this incubation of being in him could break free from those restrictions which were ultimately around me. Son, look and see. The seraphim are waiting to put the coals from the altar of sacrifice to touch the maps, visions, and destinies of men. So God started to unveil something of the temple, of the seraphim and their purpose in bringing the glory of God to fill the earth. They're waiting for my people to set the precedent as Abraham did, to yield and present the promise on the altar. So everything of who I am, I willingly lay on the altar. And as I do that, it opens up God to be able to change and transform things from the fire of that altar. When my people are truly willing to present themselves on the altar here, then I will release the burning ones who carry my glory to bring my fire of transformation and the transfiguration onto the earth once more. So God's looking for people to embrace the temple, to embrace the altar, and to respond to the call of here you will go for us, to respond with here am I, send me. Yet once more will the everlasting doors be open and my fire will give my people access to the resources of glory. Who will answer the call to come to the fire of the altar? Who will respond by laying all their own agendas down so that they can truly say, here am I, send me? The ancient paths will be the paths of glory fire as my glorified voice in fire calls out to my people to marry me. And this is the whole ketubah connecting into that relationship which brings us into a new depth with God. Son, a whole new reality awaits those whose will is yielded and surrendered and yoked to mine, and who choose me over and above themselves. The time of separation of singlehood is nearly over. Now, this came as we were looking to embrace a marriage ceremony as part of our destiny here, part of our scroll, and God had invited us to participate in a marriage between the Lord and Freedom Church. And we had had this call, this part of our destiny, for a number of years and didn't know what to do with it. And eventually we got to the point where we were able to connect and make a personal and corporate ketubah. And then we were going to have this ceremony on the 31st of December 2016. And God spoke and said, the time of separation of singlehood is nearly over. And this was leading up to that ceremony. The joy of walking together in the celestial and the terrestrial will be restored. Come, fire walk with me, and new vistas and new horizons will come into view. The marriage will be a marriage consummated in fire, just as it must be prepared by fire. My bride, make yourself ready for our big day. And this was an invitation. And as I was engaging God, fire became such an important part of it. The forerunners are hearing my invitation, but are slow to respond. Woe to those who reject my invitation, because the consuming fire of my glory will come. Now, when we think of the woes do not embrace punishment or torment. The woes of God embrace fire, which will consume if we will allow it. And there are many people who've encountered things previously or been forerunners, and God is calling them to come deeper, to lay down and let go of those things that they've built or established, but they're not responding. And the fire is going to increase. The seraphim are going to come. If those reject the invitation, then the fire is not going to let them go. God is not going to give up on them. But it will be hot, if you like, and transforming in a way which is not always pleasant. Embrace the fire, and it's less difficult when the fire embraces you. I am long-suffering and patient, but yet once more will I shake the heavens and the earth, and my glorified voice in fire will consume and consume and consummate. Now, this took place in AD 70, described from an Old Testament passage and in Hebrews 12. But God is basically saying he's not going to let things stand. That which is of the kingdom is going to be revealed. So he's going to shake our lives, and he's going to reveal something in fire to consume those things which are hindering who we are in him, and consummate that which is our relationship birthed and outworked in fire. The season of my justice will continue before greater grace and grace upon grace will be released. Let the sons of God arise to administer justice and ministrate justice, so my bride can be glorified by fire. The contained fire of the altar or firestorms of heaven poured out, you have the choice. Now, my choice is to lay my heart and my mind on the altar within the temple, that described in Isaiah 6, every day. But if we don't respond to willingly laying our life on the altar, then firestorms of heaven can be poured out. And those firestorms can seem like meteors coming down out of heaven. But the fire of those things are like fire bombs. They're love bombs. Yeah, they're not to destroy, because fire wants to change and transform, not destroy. It's not a destructive fire that comes out of heaven, but it's a heavier weight of fire that comes upon us if we don't embrace it ourselves. We have the choice. Son, I showed you many years ago the two sides of fire. Now the reality of that will be released. When I was in heaven in 2010, my first real series of heavenly encounters, God showed me the flip side of various things and showed me that they were the same thing seen from different perspectives. Fire was one of them, a wonderful warming fire that we can come around in the winter and feel comfortable and, you know, in a place of rest, or a forest fire out of control and raging. Same fire, but different purposes. And how we engage it will determine how we experience it. But it is coming. I took another walk. And again, I was asked by the Father to walk, and we walked. And it was dimly lit. And it took time for my eyes to adjust to where we were walking, which is not common when I've normally walked with God. Everything is really intensely brightly lit. There were pathways crossing and connecting, and as we walked this pathways, we came up to a gulf, and this gulf was disconnected. The path stopped at this gulf. So, son, you cannot see in the darkness because you're looking with the wrong eyes. Well, which eyes am I looking at? They're not, am I my natural eyes, the eyes of my heart, are the eyes of my spirit? You know, what am I trying to see with? Don't try, just rest. Be enveloped with that which is the mystery hidden for you to discover. I saw new pathways opening. I saw new doors to discover new dimensions of reality. I saw the light, energy, the atmosphere. The whole thing changed. Where was I? In my own mind. The Father took me on a walk within my own conscious reality, within my own mind. And this is what I felt. I feel that I'm walking in the recesses of my mind again. Now, I'd been there before when God unveiled something that I described earlier. But this was something from a different perspective. So I saw these new paths reconnecting my mind to areas of my consciousness that were eternal memories of who I was. God was connecting me up to who I was before I was. And I was beginning to reconnect with the memories of what I was doing before. So I feel and sense the potential possibilities of that eternal reality. The capacities that have been locked and hidden are now beginning to reconnect. There were doors beyond the gulf that I knew were closed, but they weren't locked. I just knew it. And I saw bridges begin to span the gulf between what was and what is and what will be. And basically the Father said, do you want me to reconnect to one of these doors? And I'm like, oh, yes, please, yes. So I began to see that which is shrouded in the mists of the long forgotten and now unknown mysteries clearing. So there are things which I could do and had the capacity to do, and I believe that mankind had lost in Adam that is being reconnected in Christ. And it's to do with our consciousness, the expanding of the capacities of what we believe, to reconnect to what was always there, but we've been disconnected from. We've lost the ability to connect with that area. I know David Van Coovering talks about it, like the loss of bandwidth, that we now can't see what we could see. We can't hear what we could hear. We can't connect to what we used to be able to connect to. And God was reconnecting that in my mind. So I saw the truth, the reality that once was, begin to come into view as my consciousness entertains this new vista of eternal recollection. I'm starting to reconnect to who I was. I saw my position within the mind of God, pre-eternal sonship. I am as I've always been known. I saw beyond the boundaries and the limitations of my consciousness that have been disconnected from true reality. I saw a possibility and I chose it. It's like I popped a quiff. You know, it's a scientific term for quantum mechanics when something which is a possibility is chosen and becomes a reality. So I collapsed the mystery into reality. What I was seeing was all those amazing choices which were creative that I saw previously in my encounter in my own mind, I now actually chose a possibility and I collapsed it into reality. And all of us do this all the time. We make choices The problem is we're not making choices. We've been connected with our eternal reality. We're making choices connected with our soul's past. And therefore, we continue to do what we've always done, making choices based on what we always knew. And God is unveiling that there is a deeper connection to what I knew before I knew anything here. And that should be the basis of which I choose. So I can choose creatively to collapse this choice into a reality. Now, we do it every day and we change reality. It becomes history. Every time I make a decision, it changes reality for me and affects reality for others. And those can be very simple things. And if I do that in front of people, people see what I've done and that affects how they see me and their reality is affected. And we're all interacted this way. And God is able to connect and touch all of it at the same time. But when we connect to who we really are, then it enables us to begin to make choices based out of the heart of God and not from what we have made from our own reality based on our own previous experience. And that comes from the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. God spoke to me and said, call my children to come to maturity, to take charge of the mountains of the house of the Lord and to take their places in charge of the courts of the heavenly. It is time for the transfiguration of sonship, to embrace the creative light of sonship and walk in the light beyond the veil and radiate that light on the earth. Because we always have been light beings. Our whole conscious reality of who we are is being reconnected in light. Sun, as the rhythm of my heartbeat increases, so will the intensity of the light that shines and radiates through sons who walk in the creative light beyond the torn veil of an open heaven. Sun, walk with me. And again, we stand in front of the throne where the Ancient of Days releases the river of fire. Now, I've been here numerous times. First encounter really with heaven was here. And we're standing here again. And we walk into the river. You know, I've walked on the river. And I've never done this. But walking with the Father, I sank into the river. It was like sinking into the baptism in fire, immersed in the consuming fire of God's presence, but in love. Just cocooned with love. I submerged in the representation of the passion of the heart of God that is found in the eternal state of the womb of the purity of his desire expressed in his thoughts. That's how he created me, and I was reconnecting with it, sinking into it. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen sort of films where you're like in a dream and you're having a dream in the dream. And this is what it was like. I'm in a vision and now I'm going deeper in the vision within the vision and I'm going deeper into it. I yield totally to the purification of the baptism of fire and I become restored, reshaped in the eternal mold. It's like that heat, that fire. You know, I didn't try and fight it. I didn't try and run from it. I embraced it in love and it began to change something and reshape me to the eternal image. So we emerged from that river of fire and we stood on the fire stones. And God said, son, now be in the fullness of the nine stones, strands, streams, ages, precepts, characteristics, skins, dimensions, nine lights of ascension to the maturity of sonship. So we're now standing. I mean, I've been on those stones a number of times. I've stood on them. I became part of them. I stood on them again and went deeper. I stood on them again and sank deeper into them. I saw into them. I sank into them. I've been there four or five times. Nothing compared to standing on the firestone with the Father. Everything began to take on a deeper reality. Son, my sons must become and be, and so complete the 12 stones of the government of the order of Melchizedek. There are nine stones. that need our completion as sons to be the full son, 12 stones of government. Son, call for reconciliation and restoration that will renew the minds of my people to know my heart and to be revealed onto the earth to remove all the barriers, divides and boundaries and divisions of men. Now, as I began later in the year to respond to God's call to call together people to a national summit in the US, God started to unveil his purpose, not just for that engagement, but for all nations, all peoples, to engage in what is a reconciliation and a restoration process. And it is to remove all the barriers and divides and boundaries and divisions that men have established based on the path of the knowledge of good and evil, the things we have done in our self-righteousness to create our own identity, to create our own heritage, if you like. It's what they did when they started to build Babel. And God confused them and removed the ability of sound. And now God is restoring it. Let a new constitution be unveiled, signed and agreed between heaven and earth, and new founding fathers be invested with establishing new spiritual government. And I believe this needs to be outworked right throughout the earth. Something that we did, you know, in the heart of the nation in the US was just a first step for that nation, but was also a forerunning experience for other nations to embrace their identity and purpose, not in the boundaries and divisions and barriers that have set up that nation within man and out of man's desire and greed and lust for territory, but of God's desire for people to live together in one heart and one mind and outwork his purpose of oneness on the earth. Let all identity that has been established by men making a name for themselves be removed. All nationalist and territorial mindsets be broken. Let a new identity be established. Let new principalities be put in place. Forevermore, let these people be called God's people and this land be called God's land. This whole world belongs to him and he's giving it to us to reflect heaven. And there are no nations within heaven. Let the characteristics of true sonship be revealed. Love, joy, peace, patience, tolerance, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, humility, and self-control. Issue a new call. Let the sound go out and reverberate throughout the land. The call to sonship to restore the crown of the kingdom to the people of God. I call for the 24 governmental positions of crowns, the mountain benches to be occupied and investiture and enthronements to be completed. Now, I did this in September in Kearney, in Nebraska, in the US, and I'm calling for this for the nations around the world, the connections, certainly with people that I have, but God's desire to reestablish heavenly government within all peoples of the earth and to reform the maps of men into God's governmental purpose. And I'm calling this and releasing this now to begin to reverberate and vibrate out there so we can reconnect with it around the world. A call to sonship, a call to our positions of government within sonship, the crown of government established. God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. God is calling us into those places, into those positions. He's calling us to engage. And I'd just like to finish by doing an activation, by engaging that activation. I believe God wants us to engage heaven and just for him to take us deeper into himself, perhaps to take us into our own mind, to show us some of the restrictions and constrictions there, which will free us to being. It's like walking up those steps. It's walking into the unknown, walking into that mysteries which are hidden. When I came out of this engagement within my own mind, it was such a amazing experience. I completely lost track of physical time. And I came out of that engagement and I looked at my watch and it was 7:45 in the morning. And I needed to be in my office to with a discipleship connection relationship at 8 o'clock with a friend. So I hadn't even got dressed and prepared. So I walked upstairs, and so I felt totally free. I didn't feel in any shape concerned. I just walked upstairs. I washed, changed, got ready, came downstairs, and I looked at the kitchen clock, and the kitchen clock said 5 to 8. And then I looked at my watch, and my watch said 7:45. And my watch is a watch that never stops. It's perpetual, never stops. And yet it was still showing 7:45. So now my mind started to embrace possibilities. So I decided not to rush. I walked out into the garden. This was in the summer. I watered plants in the greenhouse. I went and fed the fish pond. I did other things. I walked back in. The clock was now moved on in the kitchen, but my watch was still the same. So I decided I was going to go to work, to the office, and my wife then reminded me that she was having the car for the day. So I thought, so it normally takes 2 or 3 minutes to drive, but it takes 10 to 15 minutes to walk. So I carried on walking, and I was walking. My watch was still actually saying 7:45. And I got partway to work, 3/4 of the way there. And it's like I came outside of this bubble that my conscious ability had created for me to be in. And I walked to work and got there at 7:55. So this experience of removing the limitations of my mind and me being able to choose a reality to enable me to fulfill God's purpose became something I actually experienced and did in that instance. So God wants to expand all our realities, all our consciousness, to begin to embrace who we really are, who we really were, and to begin to outwork that in reality. So let's, by faith, take that step. There's a door standing open in heaven. We can hear that invitation from him to come up here. We can walk up those steps, step through the veil by faith, enter into the realm of the kingdom. Jesus is always waiting for us, standing in that doorway. We present ourselves to him as a living sacrifice. He's our high priest. He has opened up this new and living way for us to enter in. We come through the way of the cross, exchanging the old for new, standing in robes of righteousness, surrendering our will, embracing his. So I just ask, Jesus, that you will lead us to the Father today. Lead us to the Father's heart. Lead us to go deeper, to embrace the call. Take us through the way, the truth, the life, the veils of heaven, to bring us before the very ark of your presence. Our whole desire is to seek your will and purpose. We open up our heart, ask you to unveil your destiny today. Give each person a mandate. Introduce us to the Father. And Father, take us deeper into you. Take us back into your heart, into your mind. Take us into your name. We step into that identity. Unveil it for us. Bring us to that place of peace and rest. Walk with us on that as ancient paths. Take people back to the place of engagement with who they really are. Reconnect, expand, restore. Take each person, Father, and lead them, walk with them into a new depth of reality, into that new place of peace and rest. We just walk with you on those ancient paths.